a milky moon dog sky.
If you sung karaoke,
that's your first mistake.
I feel like I know you.
I didn't want people to know.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content. Welcome to Sprints and Milestones in our season of taking an honest look at real stories of failure at work. Already, we've been given some deep insight from the personal experiences of our guests, not just on how to avoid problematic situations, but how the worst situations can also provide opportunities for positive change.
And the story from this episode is one that I believe shows how these tales of failure in the workplace have the potential for crucial insight in areas of our life far outside the workplace. And that's what we're going to hear today from our friend and colleague, Barbara Bloomstein. Her story prompts us to ask a question we might not normally associate with the workplace in a serious way.
Join us for this excavation of bad experience at work as we ask the perhaps unexpected question, what's love got to do with it? Margo, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We'd love to just get started and have our listeners kind of get to know you a little bit.
My name is Margo Bloomstein. I was born at a very young age, and I've been working in the web industry in content strategy specifically for 22 years now. And so I feel like I kind of have squatter's rights maybe in some conference settings. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. But yes, I've been working in content strategy about 22 years. My background prior to that was graphic design, and I'm the author of Content Strategy at Work, and then Trustworthy that came out in 2021.
In addition to her brief and modest intro, we thought it would also be important for our listeners to know that Brett, Margo, and I are working with a couple of other colleagues at Loop Collective. Through months of collaboration and discussion and truly building our new business, we came to find how every interaction with Margo has been meaningful.
And impactful. I mean, honestly, this shows in the work she's done with clients like Sally May, Harvard University, and Timberland, just to name a few. But you get a glimpse into how she thinks about and values building trust and the value of those meaningful interactions in her most recent book, Trustworthy. To us, it's very clear that her heart is in her work, and her story is just more evidence of that. Here, she's sharing a story with us from an experience that was really pivotal for her.
That teachable, hopefully learnable moment that makes you say, whoo, record scratch. Let me reconsider everything here. So
we step in with her at that early stage in a project many of you are familiar with, that first moment of assessing expectations and scope.
Well, several years ago, I was working on a project and I'd been brought in as an outside consultant to work with one of their clients. They had pitched, sold this project, and they realized content strategy was a big component of it. They thought it was going to be more design-led initially, but then they realized they needed to spec out a broader variety of content types. The client didn't want to just look different, they also needed to sound different and tell a different story through their content, which, yeah, those are ding, 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 all good reasons to also include content strategy in the budget. Ideally, you do that as part of the pitching process and the discovery process and the sales process. Things don't always happen, ideally.
I want to pause here for a moment and have you picture the things you know to be important when beginning a new project. Or even before beginning that project, when you're deciding if it's a fit. We'll wait just real quick. First thoughts on what's important to you. Now, with that in mind, maybe it'll be surprising to you what one of the main factors in taking a project is for Margo. Ready?
I fall in love with their organizations, or with this new product they're rolling out, or this legacy brand that they're reinvigorating. I fall in love with what they're trying to do, or the bigger vision and values that they're trying to serve.
So imagine the first meeting being something similar to a first date. Here's Margo's insight on it.
And sometimes that results in me coming home like halfway through the project and saying, like, is this a public company? I should really buy stock in this company because they're going to change the world. I believe in it so much. But I feel like that is such a good gut reaction. That is how I how I gauge that I am fully invested in this. And then usually my financial planner says like, whoa, hold on a sec, which is probably smart.
Hey, Greg, just curious, have you ever fallen out of love with a client or a project?
Well, yeah. I mean, after what, 10 plus years, of course. So when I go into projects, I always gravitated towards not so much the work we were hired to do or even what the client does, you know, which meant doing a very wide range of work in a wide range of industries. But I always focused on the people and the, you know, what can I learn from them? What can I teach them? And I feel like that goes well up until the clients, the problems on the client's culture begin to creep into the work that we're doing together. And sometimes that has actually nothing to do with the people that we're working with. Like the relationship is great, each other, but the institution that we're both working for, you know, one is an employee, the other is a contractor. It poisons the relationship. It sours the relationship. And at that point, then I think that's where you, for me anyway, you focus on the work and not so much the relationship as much. How about you?
Oh, I have fallen in love with clients before working with them and then quickly fallen out of love with them after starting that work. I've fallen in love with the idea of a client to find that it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Loving a brand and then coming to the table to help that organization. But then, you know, like learning that it's opposed to everything that you understood and knew about that brand is so heartbreaking. So yeah, I've fallen out of love for sure. I've also fallen out of love with projects because a stakeholder ends up being a jerk or just unfriendly or rude, or mm-hmm. a team member, you know, makes a mistake and then things go off the rails and then that project just becomes a headache. I think there's lots of reasons to fall out of love, or reasons why we fall out of love with the work that we're doing. But I think when you're working in kind of client services or consulting, you do your best to find the best match for you. And sometimes after getting in, you recognize that your matchmaking skills weren't as great as you thought they were.
Well, it was kind of, you know, the beginning, it's like Gilligan's Island, you know, the weather started getting rough, the mighty ship was tossed. Not for the courage of our fearless crew, except in this case, I don't know if the fearless crew was me, and I don't know if it was courage so much as learning to listen to more than just the logic that I had laid out in the project. So as the project proceeded, I started to see how some of the things that I had laid out, sort of the fledgling plans and strategy that I had laid out within the vaguely scoped budget and action items, some of those things needed to flex in some cases because the client was articulating slightly different needs. So we would go back to the office then, me working with like the account managers and project managers and other designers on the team. We'd say, all right, we had initially spec'd out this kind of process, but it seems like these other needs are more important. Let's adjust our process. We don't need to initiate a change request with the client because this is going to be like a one-to-one swap. Okay, that's probably okay. But then, after a few weeks of that, I was starting to hear things from the account managers on the agency side where they would say, can you also just do this? You know, we're seeing kind of how the project is trending. Seems like the client just doesn't get some of this stuff, so they don't really know what they need. Do these other things as well. And that kind of discussion internally, that does raise a lot of red flags for me. First of all, the client doesn't know what they need. Or like the shorter form is, they just don't get it. And I feel like I've heard that from developers, from designers, creative directors, project managers, account managers, a lot over the past 20 years.
Yeah, I wish we could have had a proper retro to learn more about that. But it does remind us of the situation that we found ourselves in, and kind of speaking to this blanket statement of the client doesn't know what they need, they just don't get it. I think even after being digital for, you know, as long as we have, we still tend to make some assumptions of what people's understanding of things are. You know, that surely by now everybody knows what X is or Y is and how that has an impact on Z. But it's, you know, thinking back and reflecting on that right now, I think that, you know, we, in that particular project, we, I want to say, skipped over a couple of basics, like real basics, like kindergarten basics. Whereas I kind of wonder, just listening to you now, is if we had, would have had a different outcome if we had just, you know, started that project like we've started every other project we've ever worked on.
In hearing from the organization, in hearing from the agency, things like, well, can you just do this? And the client doesn't get it. Just, you know, can we add this on as well? All of the excitement and enthusiasm and delight that I had at the beginning of the engagement for working with this agency, for working with this client, for working on these kinds of problems, working with the team, that was all starting to wane. So I just felt like, all right, I can still go through the motions. I know how to do this work. I know how to do it logically. But I wasn't doing it with love anymore. And when the project started falling apart, when communication was breaking down, when dissent was growing, like among the team, between the team and the client, when there was just that clear disrespect, I think I started to fall out of love with that process. And I was still trying to do good work. I was bringing wisdom to it and experience to it, and maintaining our flow of, this point, just deliverables. And it's kind of like you're bringing your brain to it, but you're not bringing your heart to it. You need heart to trust yourself, to trust your teammates.
What's your method for when you fall out of love? What do you focus on? I try to focus on the work and just trying to make the people that are getting along with us, put them in as much of a good light as possible. But what do you, when the relationship starts to go south, what do you do?
So a fact you know about me is that I very much care about the way people perceive me and the work that I'm doing. So when I sense that things are going wrong, I inevitably will initiate a conversation to help me understand if the person on the other side of the table is feeling the same way that I do. Because I think my initial instinct is, how can I salvage this relationship? Because I know that a lot of the work that we do is reliant on those good relationships and at least having a common understanding of what we're here to do together. And I feel like without the basis for that relationship, it's hard to have some of the conversations you need to have to move a project forward in a positive way. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm first focused on the relationship. I'm first focused on trying to right the ship if I feel like we're starting to fall out of love. And I think it's a two-way street too. Like, I think that's important. Like, just because I fall out of love doesn't mean that somebody else is so in love with this project or working with me or the team that I'm on, right? There's something from both parties that's being brought to the situation that's creating the scenario that you're in. I also think, you know, when I do start to fall out of love, or let's say I'm completely out of love just over a project, I'm kind of there right now. I really do just focus on the tasks, and I really do my best to not let my own personal emotions get in the way of that, because at the end of the day, I am there to do a job and to do that job well. It doesn't mean that I have to be happy or excited about the people that I'm working with, but I can get myself excited about the work if that's in a good place.
So I got it done. I completed my contract. When the agency asked me to sign on for the next phase of the project, I answered them honestly. I felt like I was not the best person for this partnership. anymore. And I think I pointed them to a few colleagues that I thought might be a good fit or were maybe looking for an engagement for different reasons. But I knew that I couldn't do the best work that they deserved anymore.
You and I just went through this situation a couple months back where in the beginning, a project that we took on, everybody was all smiles on Zoom, you know, both in the pitch, the workshop that we did before the project even got started. All the engagements were working fine. And then weeks in, things started to turn and escalated quickly. You know, where we were getting conflicting messages of what it was that the client wanted, what they needed, and communication just disappeared. And it's interesting to me that despite being in this industry, as long as we have, we there's still times you get blindsided by this. And it's, you kind of, for me anyway, I don't know about you, but I just looked at that moment and kind of said, how is it after 20 years in this 20 plus years, like this can still happen, right? How did this happen? I don't know. How are you thinking about things when that project started to fall apart?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that moment of introspection. Like, what's my role in this? What is our role in this versus the client's role in this? And what have we done? What are the steps that we've taken? And I remember specifically you and I sitting down and really trying to inspect the situation and thinking like, wow, rattling off all of the things that we did, all of the things that we did in a positive way to make sure that our bases were covered, that the work was communicated, that things were going well. And then trying to understand, like, why were we getting the reactions that we're getting? Where was the communication breakdown? I think it all comes back to the quote in Margot's story where they said, the client doesn't know what they need. They just don't get it. And my initial reaction on hearing someone say something like that is, you might be right, but at the same time, are you doing everything that you need to do? Are you doing a good job of helping those clients to be good clients?
Now I start out from that point that I had reached so late in the project. In other words, rather than saying, this project checks all of these boxes, here's why it works logically, I also look to say, why does this work from like the heart perspective? Am I really in love with this engagement? How does it fit with my personal values? And how can I help the client realize their values through this partnership? Am I really excited about working with this team? And I think for the engagements that don't give me that immediate sizzle, I have to take a step back and say, all right, if I move forward with this, what are the opportunity costs? What will I gain and what are the trade-offs? But I can also say for so many clients, regardless of industry, I mean, I've worked with some industries that I'm looking back and I'm like, that was really dry insurance, or I worked on a project for coal-fired power plants years ago where they were trying to make them more environmentally responsible. And I loved it because the team was fascinating. My client team, they knew about so many things that I did not know about. I learned so much on it. And for like the little bit of environmental responsibility that they were trying to improve, I think that we made a bit of a difference. And that was thrilling. And I think projects don't need to be like for big, sexy brands for us to love them or for us to feel like we do the best work with a certain group of people. And we shouldn't settle for any less.
And really, just like other areas outside our work, along with this insight, is the very crucial factor, which is really inseparable from your heart needing to be in it. Are you and the other party in alignment?
Right. How many epic failures, both in life and work, would be completely avoided if we acted on these simple pillars? Or even more significantly, how many amazing relationships in work and life would be set up to flourish all the more acting off of these principles? What an incredible insight, a way to move forward in many aspects of life.
I think it's important to have the conversations early and repeatedly that include the whole team, from client side as well as agency side and everybody that's on that team, to have the conversations early and often around what this will accomplish. What do we all love about the opportunities that and the vision that this initiative will enable? Because I think once people understand the North Star, and that North Star is not just, we will launch a website or we'll improve hiring targets or something. But once everyone can understand that, then they can personally decide, well, does that resonate with me? Do I care about that thing? I think it's incumbent on the project manager then to say, all right, well, what does motivate you? And can we ensure that you can still find that on this project? Because I think there are some cases where people say, I don't care about the big goal, but I really care about getting to do this type of work because I haven't done it enough and I want to gain more experience and I want to be mentored by these other people on the team. Getting to work with this group of people is really exciting to me because I'm just excited about learning from them and gaining this exposure into the industry. And I think when someone is able to articulate why their heart is in the work or what are the big motivating factors and drivers for them, that gives them something with which to align. So I think that's how you get toward alignment, not just that we all have the same vision in mind, but for those of us for which that vision is important, we know what it is. For people that say like, I know it, but it doesn't motivate me, we know what motivates them instead. And I think that is really important for a project manager to understand and for the individual contributors to be able to communicate.
Projects really come down to relationships. Work comes down to relationships. And if you can navigate those relationships and set the right expectations and boundaries, you generally will do well because that creates a more comfortable atmosphere, a more trusting atmosphere. And the minute that you start to hear about things that are wrong, or let's say they're red flags, you escalate those things, you resolve them. You talk about why there are issues. You don't just sweep them under the rug and keep moving on. And I think a lot of people tend to do that because that's the comfortable thing to do. But I think we all know that when you sweep issues under the rug, they tend to snowball and come back and bite you a lot harder than they would have if you'd just addressed them the first time around.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
Margo, thank you so much. This was really great.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Margo.
Bye-bye.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content.